focus and the verbiage of nanoengineering, nanophotonics, nanotechnology is something that's been synonymous with Lumera since the beginning. So it's part of their strategy, and it's clearly a very forward-looking view of the marketplace.
My name is Tom Minow, and I'm Chief Executive Officer of Lumera Corporation. I'm happy to bring you the 2007 Lumera Podcasting Series. This series of podcasts addresses a wide range of exciting developments in the field of nanotechnology, photonics, and groundbreaking effects they may have on the multi-billion dollar telecommunications, semiconductor, and bioscience industries. In this podcast, we are pleased to have Kimberly Trapp, who will speak on her work in electro-optics. Kimberly is the industry liaison officer at Lehigh University's Center for Optical Technologies. Kim has 23 years of optoelectronics industry experience, having served as marketing operations director at Agere Systems and AT&T Bell Labs. She also is a member of our board of directors since October 2006. Thank you for participating in our podcast series, and now I'll turn it over to Todd.
Hi, this is Todd Wolfenbarger with the Lumera Podcasting Series, and today we are talking with Kim Trapp. Kim is the industry liaison at Lehigh Center of Optical Technologies. Kim, welcome aboard to the Lumera Podcast.
Thank you very much.
Kim, you've spent the past 20 years in the middle of a really fascinating industry and worked with some of the biggest companies in the world in this thing as it relates to electro-optics. Tell us why, maybe a little bit about that background and why electro-optics matter in the world we live in today.
Indeed, I have spent 23 years of my career in the electro-optic telecommunications industry, and I must say it's probably been 23 of the most exciting years in this industry and marketplace.
Uh-huh.
The reason why it's important is because it's everywhere. Everywhere we look in our daily lives, optics, electro-optics, biophotonics, photonics, are in our lives. We pick up the phone, we use the computer, we use the internet, we use any kind of technology, and optics is there and will continue to be a major part of our lives.
You've worked for, as I said, a number of major companies that have really kind of helped define this industry. Today you're doing something a little bit different. You've gone to the academic side, working with Lehigh. Tell me a little bit about why that is becoming such a prevalent thing in science today and business, and how the university and the technology worlds are colliding from a business standpoint.
Well, it's actually been an interesting progression. I began my career after my undergraduate education doing research at Bell Laboratories in the area of optoelectronic components.
Uh-huh.
This was, 23 years ago. Began doing fundamental research and development that evolved into, again, the growth of the lasers, the photodetectors, modulators, and other optical components. I continued into graduate school and rapidly moved into new types of materials and new types of devices that were going to be needed in the year 2010 and 2020. Continued there and chose to move into a marketing and business aspect of the business for AT&T, Lucent, and finally Agere.
Wow.
What has happened in certainly the last 10 years, especially with the change in the telecommunications market, is most of these companies that were doing the fundamental research and development with these materials, these products, these new devices, integrated components and systems, are no longer able to afford, frankly, to do that type of work. So much of that work that I did 23 years ago in Bell Laboratories is now moving into the university forum. So at Lehigh University, what we are finding is certainly with our very strong background in materials and other types of engineering and optics, companies are approaching us to work with them to do the fundamental research and development that is needed to drive the optics technology aggressively forward, to diversify in the marketplace. Again, it's an opportunity for Lehigh, and this is my role at Lehigh, to forge these relationships and partnerships with companies. So together, Lehigh has a very long tradition, and now more recently from the optics technology, a very focused effort in forging these partnerships to drive optics and to drive diversity in the industry. So again, Lehigh is taking the opportunity to work with these companies to continue to do state-of-the-art, really forward-looking research for these companies to enable them to have the technology and products they're going to need as this market continues to evolve and change over the next 10 and 20 years.
Talk to me a little bit about that change in 10 and 20 years? I mean, what's different today? And this, I realize this question may be ridiculous because the answer may be everything, but what's different today in electro-optics than it was when you first walked in the door 20 years ago?
Well, let's go back 23 years ago. How many of us had cell phones? And the first cell phone I had was a huge suitcase that sat on the seat next to me in my car. So we go back then. We go back to the Internet. Where was the Internet 23 years ago? If at all, it was a very limited access, really available for researchers and librarians, as well as other types of internal government databases. So here we have evolved to the Internet. Most of us use it every single day. Most of us cannot go a day or a moment or an hour without a cell phone. We have iPods. We have all sorts of high technology that's at our fingertips on a daily basis. I have a daughter who's a college student, and a CD, a cell phone, an Internet, a wireless hookup for her computer, those are givens. 23 years ago, we didn't have those in college. So as we look back, I mean, it's been a phenomenal change in not only the technology, but the way we conduct our lives.
And I guess what some people may not understand is that in the middle of all of those things you just talked about are electro-optics and high-speed modulators. Are modulators more prevalent in communications or in computing or both?
Historically or in the past, modulators have mostly been employed in communication and in communication systems.
Uh-huh.
I think that is going to change and evolve. It already is changing and evolving with the advent of much of the work Lumera is doing with polymer modulators, which is enabling the modulator technology to be capable of much faster speeds, lower power consumption, as well as smaller size, cheaper, more reliable, etc. So I think we're starting certainly to see the modulator technology evolving to a point where it is at least coming close to being imagined as almost a consumer type product. And it's starting to show up as in applications in various systems and other types of communication system designs, et cetera, from other companies.
You're obviously familiar with what Lumera is doing in terms of their modulators. What are some of the things that you think that you see technology inside the company that may be unique to the market?
What is very exciting about Lumera is the strategy and the view Lumera's had for some time about nanotechnology and nanophotonics. I think nanophotonics is really the next hurdle and the next frontier, if you will, for much of this technology. Lumera has already made major, major strides in this area with the capabilities with the polymer work that they're doing, as well as some of the other applications of their technology. You know, focus and the verbiage of nanoengineering, nanophotonics, nanotechnology is something that's been synonymous with Lumera since the beginning. So it's part of their strategy, and it's clearly a very forward-looking view of the marketplace. And just recent releases by various market researchers are now using that word, nanotechnology, nanophotonics, as we start to think about the future.
Well, electro-optics has to have, you know, I mean, we've talked some about the technology, and, you know, the other side of that is the buyer. The buyer in this particular instance, the telecommunications market since the year 2000 just took an enormous beating, just a historical downturn. I think by most accounts, that market appears to be starting to get healthy again. Do you believe that's true, and do you believe that economics of the modulators that are coming out of the market today are going to help facilitate that recovery?
I think the market is stabilizing. I do not think we are ever going to see what we saw in the late 90s. The telecommunications bubble was a very interesting and exciting time. I think those of us who lived through it learned an incredible amount about this industry and about how to do business in this industry with very highly sophisticated technology. So the good news is yes, I think the market is recovering. I don't think it's going to be certainly like it was. It's going to be different, but I think it's going to be stronger, and I think it's going to be much healthier. What we are still seeing, and this is again from the perspective here in the eastern part of the United States, we are still seeing some consolidation of companies who are in this field, and we are still seeing a healthy growth of new startup companies coming on board, which is also very exciting, not only for customers, but also for the consumers and for the marketplace and for the industry. So again, many changes, many adjustments have certainly taken place since the late 90s, In terms of the modulators, I don't think I would go as far as to say that they're driving any kind of recovery. Certainly, modulators are going to play a very important role in the next generation systems, whether they be communication or next generation computing systems. They are a very key component, whether it's an individual component or something that's integrated into a system. They're very key to the workings and performance and capabilities of any type of product or consumable that employs that technology.
You talked about 2 decades ago how different some of the things that we now just take, you know, for granted, part of our normal day and work life, that electro-optics had a role in helping bring about. If I asked you to put out, you know, bring out your crystal ball and say, what do the next 10 years look like? What could change? What could be revolutionary about what's happening in electro-optics today in terms of the way, you know, we live our lives?
I think we're going to see further integration. I think it's going to become a much more integrated technology. I also think it's going to become more affordable for everyday people to employ and use the technology. But again, the next hurdle we'll see in the next 20 or so years will be full integration, such that we don't have to have so many different devices in order to communicate. So I think there's that opportunity. I also think there's going to be, especially with some of the technology that's being developed now, you know, in the realm of modulation, that we will see real-time video and data streaming use of this technology. And again, I just think it's going to make everything much cheaper, much faster, and will enable these types of technologies to truly move into the consumer market.
Well, this has all been very interesting today. If listeners wanted to learn more about you or the work you're doing at Lehigh, where would they go to find out more?
Well, there are several ways to approach that. First of all, you can certainly access, and using the internet, the Lehigh University website. If you get to the Lehigh University website, there are several categories where you can look at much of the research and the centers and institutes that are here on the Lehigh University campus. Our Center for Optical Technologies, which was actually born in 2001, has its own web page as well as a website, which provides a significant amount of information, not only about Lehigh, the work we do at the Center for Optical Technologies, and importantly describes all of the relationships and partnerships we have with various companies who are working in this field and driving the technology forward.
We appreciate the time that you spent and for being willing to share your expertise with us today.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
That is Kim Trapp from Lehigh University. She's the industry liaison at Lehigh Center of Optical Technologies on the Lumera podcasting series.